Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, June the 8th, an absolutely warm day here. If you're coming to Texas, if you're coming to North Texas, make sure you bring a swimming suit because it is warm. You're going to be spending a lot of time at the hotel swimming pool, or you're going to be spending a lot of time with your friends at their swimming pool or the public swimming pool, wherever you can find one, because it's just one of those very warm days, and my goodness, we're just in June. So I hope this is not a sign of what July and August are going to be like. Today we'll be talking a little bit about President Trump and the law and order message that he's going to be presenting as part of his campaign, and how the Democrats may play right into it with this idiotic idea of defunding the police. I mean, it's about as dumb an idea as I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of them from the Democrats over the years. But I want to begin with a couple of stories that I just saw. The first one is, I'm sure you've heard all the controversy about the fact that former President Bush was not going to support President Trump in his reelection and all this kind of stuff. And I said a couple of days ago, when that story broke, I said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I don't believe it because President Bush, whether you like him or not, and I respect him a great deal, I respect President Bush a lot. I think he had to make some very tough calls, and I thought he did a great job defending the country after 9/11. But one thing about George W. Bush, one constant about him, is that he has not played politics since he left the presidency. He has not gotten involved in any campaign and any political effort, and he's avoided all of that. Obviously, he supported his brother in 2016, but that was, of course, just natural. But he has, in many ways, avoided politics all throughout the Trump presidency. He's given a couple of speeches, but I don't think they're political in any way. So the story was based, I don't know what newspaper it was, but somebody wrote a story, and the source of the story was a source close to his thinking. I mean, literally, that's what it said, a source close to what President Trump was thinking. President Bush, I should say, was thinking. I have no idea how they got to that source, but anyway, President Bush came out today and he denied it through a spokesman and said, look, you know, I don't play politics anymore. I'm out of this game, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for anyway. And my guess is you're not going to see President Bush, frankly, say much of anything during this campaign. And who he votes for, I'm pretty sure he's going to vote for President Trump, as much of a shock as that may be, because I think Bush understands what the other side stands for as well as anybody. So I wouldn't be surprised if he votes for President Trump. Now, regarding Romney and regarding Colin Powell, look, this is nothing unusual. Colin Powell has not voted Democrat or Republican since he supported Obama. And Romney, of course, we know what happened the last time. He said that he voted for his wife. He wrote in his wife's name. So I don't think it means a heck of a lot, but I'm glad to see that President Bush at least came out and say, hey, this is not true. I never said that, and this is a bogus story. And look, we went through this with Russia. Remember all the stories about Russia based on sources close to the investigation and sources familiar with the investigation? We went through all that crap before, and what did we get? We got nothing out of it. We got a bunch of false stories. And that's why I was always very skeptical of this story when it broke about the former president. Well, let's talk a little bit about defunding the police, because it all ties in. It all ties in to the message of law and order. Look, if you take away money from the police, if you defund the police, which is what many of these groups want to do, what you're going to end up doing is putting a lot of minorities at risk at a time when many of these minority communities are in the middle of a crime wave. I just saw a story. This is mind-boggling. You haven't heard a thing about this, nor have you seen any marches on this. But there were 18 murders in the last 24 hours in the city of Chicago. And I don't even have to read the story to conclude. I'm pretty sure that the 18 people who were killed were African-Americans. And I'm pretty sure the people who killed them were African-Americans, because that's the pattern in Chicago weekend after weekend. So black-on-black crime, which is devastating lots of these inner cities, going on in Baltimore, it's going on in Philadelphia, it's going on in Chicago, obviously, and lots of other places. So you take away the police, you're going to make a lot more of these citizens in the inner cities even more vulnerable to crime, because the only thing that protects them right now is the police. Now, of course, we saw an incident in Minneapolis that should not have happened. Okay, that should not have happened, period. And the policeman is going to be investigated, and that's the way it works. But to somehow go from that to defunding the police, this is about as crazy of an issue as I've seen from, as crazy a proposition, I should say, as I've seen from the Democrats in a long, long time. I mean, this is truly insane to do something like this, to say we're going to take money from the police and we're going to give it to what? To some community organization? Well, that's great. But the community organization is not going to come to your door at 3 o'clock in the morning when somebody's breaking in, or when, you know, one guy is beating his wife or whatever at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's not what community organizations do. But that's what the police does. And everybody in the black community knows that. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of pushback. But former Vice President Biden did not himself come out and say he was opposed to defunding the police. He had a spokesman say that through some kind of a tweet. And I like to hear him come out and debate this issue. I would like to see him come out and talk about what is going on with the police and what are some of his ideas, because I'm frankly getting sick and tired of Joe Biden just doing these little selected interviews with CNN or MSNBC or Morning Joe or whatever. I mean, he's got to get out and start taking some questions from a lot of different reporters, and so far he's not. I think they've concluded over at the Biden campaign that the less people see of Biden, the better his chances are. And that may be true. That may be true if you follow some of this polling data that is coming out. But at some point, he's got to come out. At some point, he's got to come out and he's got to say, well, look, this is where I stand. He's also going to have to explain some of these changes in his positions over the years. I mean, I remember a Joe Biden who at one time said he was the author of the crime bill that President Clinton signed in 1994 that became kind of like the hallmark of the Clinton presidency. Remember, you know, Clinton back then being tough on crime and all that kind of stuff. Well, that was supposedly the bill that Joe Biden, that Joe Biden wrote in the U.S. Senate, or was a big part of writing that bill. So he's going to have to clear these things up. He's going to have to clear a lot of things up. And this may be an issue where I think he's going to have difficulty keeping the party together. Look, most Democrats probably agree that defunding the police is insane. But the energy in the Democrat Party, the money is in these extreme left-wing groups. And how he puts it all together, it's something that I think is going to be extremely difficult for him as he goes from, again, being this candidate that we get to see, you know, in these interviews on the internet, to the candidate who's actually out there campaigning. At some point, he's got to make that transition. And I don't think he's going to be very good at campaigning, I can tell you that right now, because he's got some very tough issues that he has to explain, where he's basically taken every position. He's been on both sides of so many issues so many times that I just think he's got some serious problems coming up. We're going to take a little break, and I'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, June the 8th. I wanted to say one thing before we get to the New York Times. It kind of ties in to the other law and order story. I think these demonstrations have got to stop. I think they've made their point, you know, but this idea that we're constantly marching, this has to stop. And these people have got to go back to work or wherever they were before. And if they want to work through the political system, that's fine. That's okay. But these demonstrations have to stop. I mean, at some point in time, they have to stop. And I think we may have reached the point. I understand there was a funeral for George Floyd today in Houston. Okay, that's it. This is the end of it. And they need to go back to work or do whatever they were doing before. And I also have a message for these demonstrators. If you think you're going to win over public opinion by vandalizing monuments, you're in for a shocker, I think. Because one thing that I don't think you're going to earn the respect or the support of the American people by vandalizing an Abraham Lincoln monument. I'm sorry, that's just not going to fly. Abraham Lincoln, I think, is held in very high regard by Americans. So when you vandalize one of his monuments, I think you're, or Winston Churchill, that's not a very smart thing to do. Well, let's talk a little bit about the New York Times. You may recall that about a week ago, Senator Cotton of Arkansas wrote an op-ed piece published on the New York Times. You know, this is on the editorial side where they have op-ed pieces written by lots of people, members of Congress. You know, we've even had foreign governments write, or leaders of foreign governments write op-ed pieces on the New York Times. And everything was fine. Senator Cotton wrote a very fine opinion piece about, you know, why he thought that at an extreme situation, the president had the constitutional authority to use force. Well, it sat there for a couple of days, and then all hell broke loose at the New York Times. People were calling in saying that the op-ed piece was unsafe and made them unsafe to come to work. How that works, I don't know, but that's what they were saying. You had all kinds of people in the news section say, well, that's not really an opinion that we should publish. And now you have a situation where the editor of the editorial section was forced out. And I just think this is bad for journalism. I mean, the whole point of having an opinion page is that you have two points of view discussed. And if you cannot handle a point of view different than yours, then I think you need to grow up a little bit. You need to grow up a little bit. And unfortunately, I was watching Senator Cotton on TV, and he was saying that you have this woke culture in the New York Times newsroom where they simply cannot handle an opinion that they don't like. Instead of saying, okay, that's the senator's opinion, here is my opinion, I'm going to write an op-ed piece, well, I'm going to go out and find another senator who challenges Senator Cotton. That's what you do in a real newspaper. But no, they went after Cotton, and they have, I think, blown a lot of credibility in the industry with the American people as well. This comes on the heels of an editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer who wrote an editorial saying buildings matter, suggesting that if you burn down buildings, you're also impacting the community. Well, he was forced to resign, I guess, because he wrote buildings matter. This is insane what's happening in journalism. This is insane what's happening in the American left. And I don't know what to say other than that. It's insane. If some of these people cannot handle an opinion different than theirs, maybe they should get out of journalism, do something else. But journalism is all about, especially the opinion section, it's all about opinions. I express, you express, and let the readers decide which one of us has a better case. So not a good week for the New York Times, not a good week for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And what happens now, I don't know. But the New York Times, I think, has really taken a beating over this op-ed piece by Senator Cotton. Well, on this day in history, we're going to remember a very neat lady by the name of Greta Friedman. She came to the United States with her family in the 1930s. She was born on this day in Austria in 1924 and came to the United States with her family in the 1930s. She was part of, they were a Jewish family, so they came to the United States escaping what was going on in Europe and Austria, Germany, and all of that. They settled in New York, and on the day, what we like to call VJ Day, Victory Over Japan Day, we had a big celebration in Times Square. Lots of people were there. And she was working as a dental assistant in one of the clinics. So she came out during lunch break in her white uniform. A lot of people think she's a nurse, but she's actually a dental assistant. And she's walking in the middle of Times Square, and then this sailor comes and grabs her and gives her a kiss. And a guy from Life magazine just happened to be nearby. He took four pictures of it, and one of them ended up on the cover of Life magazine, probably one of the most popular pictures of the 20th century. I mean, clearly one of the most important photos of the 20th century. And somebody was saying that the whole country related to that picture because the whole country was kissing everybody. Everybody was kissing everybody because, of course, the war was over. So Greta Friedman, she died in 2016, but we remember a neat lady. neat lady who didn't want to be famous but became one of the most famous people of the 20th century. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto.